Ram, Ram Ram Hari Hari, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram Hari Hari. Welcome everyone to Food for Death. We hope you came with hearty appetites. I think you've probably all seen the synopsis for the course. And I'll tell you what our plan is day by day. First day, today, we'll talk about background, philosophical principles, what Srila Prabhupada said about Krishna consciousness and welfare work. Tomorrow, we'll read from some important articles from BTG and talk about some questions that they raise about ethics and about faith. On the third day, we'll look at the historical development of social welfare programs in ISKCON, and we'll take a closer look at what some of them are about. On the fourth day, we'll consider some further questions of principle and talk about Srila Prabhupada's vision of social welfare as found in his project for Hyderabad. On the fifth day, we'll talk about the social welfare of ISKCON devotees and some further topics. And it's all adjustable according to the winds. People generally admire charitable organizations, and they expect religious organizations to do charitable work. There are many institutions whose reputation is based on or furthered by their charitable activities. The Ramakrishna Mission in India, Mother Teresa's organization, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, not religious organization, but charitable organization, Satyasai Bhava in India, and sometimes even organizations that have no particular pious purpose do something charitable to get a good name. Congress Party in India or other political parties come to mind. So that work that they do is called pious activity. In Sanskrit, it's sometimes called Shubha Karma, Shubha Kriya, Punya Karma, Sukriti, pious work. But the Krishna consciousness movement, is not actually meant for pious work. Pious activities can't bring one to Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that there are two kinds of karmakanda activities, pious and impious. Pious activities are certainly better than impious activities, but even pious activities cannot help one achieve ecstatic love of God, Krishna. Pious and impious activities bring about material happiness and distress, but there's no possibility of one's becoming a pure devotee simply by acting piously or impiously. Now, I should say from the outset that if you're expecting me today to bash some particular program or prove something about various welfare activities that have been undertaken in ISKCON, I'm not going to do that today. I make no promises about other days. but today's discussion is for the purpose of presenting a background of what Srila Prabhupada taught about such activities. Sometimes those teachings are forgotten or sometimes de-emphasized, and I just want to collect them in one place and discuss them. I should also mention that my own outline for the course is a word document. Anyone who wants a copy of the document, who would like a copy of the document? Give me an idea. Ooh, lots. I'll try to make an arrangement. Maybe Padranga Prabhu or somebody. How many of those people don't have discs, floppy discs? A disc that you could use for the purpose. In other words, oh, it's not long. It wouldn't fill up a disc. It's long. It comes to pages and pages. As a file, it's not long. Okay, I'll try to make some arrangement. It can, but if you walk away with it, so much the better. Will you remind me, Bhattu Roshan, to speak to Bhattu Roshan? Okay. Srila Prabhupada often quotes karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishaya bandha. Karma kanda and jnana kanda are two pots of poison. Elsewhere, the definition of devotional service is jnana karma jnanavritam. It's not mixed. It's unalloyed devotional service, bhakti rutama, pure devotional service, is not mixed with karma kanda activities or jnana kama activities. Karma kanda activities means fruitive work, pious or impious. We sometimes think of karma kanda activities as being just the kind of grunt work that people do in the material world, just working hard and getting money and enjoying. But karma kanda, in its more refined sense, means performing pious activities. Those who might hope to go to heaven or to be elevated to higher planets or to find grace in the eyes of God for their good work are performing essentially karma kanda activities. So that includes all sorts of charitable work and good deeds. They come within the range of karma kanda, pious activities. And they're prescribed in the Vedas. The Vedas consists of three sections, karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda. So the Krishna consciousness movement is not meant ultimately for promoting karma kanda activities. It's meant for surpassing karma kanda activities. Jnana karma, jnana karmadi anavritam. Spreading Krishna consciousness itself is itself the highest welfare activity. This almost doesn't need to be said, but it's an almost. In Nectar of Devotion, characteristics of pure devotional service, Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. At the present moment, groups of people are engaged in welfare activities in terms of society, community, or nation. There's even an attempt in the form of the United Nations for world help activity. But due to the shortcomings of limited national activities, such a general mass welfare program for the whole world is not practically possible. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is so nice that it can render the highest benefit to the entire human race. Everyone can be attracted by this movement, and everyone can feel the result. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars agree that a broad propaganda program for the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity. Now, how did Srila Prabhupada preach about ordinary welfare activities? His comments on these matters are sometimes quite colorful, and I have a larger collection here than I think I can deal with in the course of the morning, but we'll start. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Gyan E Mano Dharma E Bala E Manda E Shab Brahma. In the material world, good and bad are mental concoctions. This is good, this is bad, this is all illusion. Let's see. Srila Prabhupada comments elsewhere in a conversation in Bombay. The sane man should utilize the little opportunity of human life in the 100% Krishna consciousness. Try to serve Krishna, 100%, bas. That is proper utilization. The so-called philanthropy, altruism, humanitarianism, thisism, that, bogus. Not bogus, useless. It will not help. Our philosophy is very difficult to understand. Suppose you are giving some medical relief, and if I say that why you should waste your time by giving medical relief, why not give him relief from birth and death? They'll laugh, is it not? They'll laugh at what nonsense he's speaking. This man is suffering. He immediately requires. We don't say, that you don't give medical relief, but why do you forget the real business? Then the man Prabhupada is speaking to says, he, and he's referring to a renowned Indian Swami, said that you cannot teach the religion on empty stomach. Prabhupada replies, that is his philosophy. Very difficult to understand Krishna consciousness. In Nectar of Devotion, also in the chapter called The Purity of Devotional Service, Srila Prabhupada speaks about social welfare activities. I'll read what leads up to that. Any person who is very seriously engaged in his occupational duties in the varnas and ashrams, and who does not develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, should be understood to be simply spoiling his human form of life. This is also confirmed in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which the Lord says to Uddhava, my dear Uddhav, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instructions, giving up all occupational duties, is to be considered the first-class man. In this statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's understood that people who are generally attracted to philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, political, and social welfare activities may be considered nice men only in the calculation of the material world. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic Vedic scriptures, we learn further that if a person simply acts in Krishna consciousness and discharges devotional service, he is considered to be far, far better situated than all of those persons engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, and social welfare activities. A revolutionary point of view. I was talking with my mother some month or so back, and I was saying, you know, what's the best thing that you could do? You know, you're, when you leave the world, you have some money. What's the best thing you could do? And she said, if I had money, what would I do? I'd open a hospital or something like that. And she's a nice lady, intelligent lady, educated lady, and that's her conception as far as it goes, that I would build a hospital, something good for people. And from our Krishna conscious point of view, we say that's very nice, only in the material vision. For those who have material vision, that's very good. But if you have spiritual vision, it's not very good. We don't consider that a very elevated goal. We have higher things to look toward. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said this movement is very difficult to understand. The so-called good men of this world, this is a lecture, 1973 in London, the so-called good men of this world, who are engaged in so many welfare activities, humanitarian activities, by mental concoction, they may be all foolish activities in the estimation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're very much puffed up. We are doing this, opening hospital and school, and philanthropism, nationalism. Is there any such thing in Bhagavad Gita? Is there any advice that you open hospital, school, and do this philanthropic work? No. But they have forgotten Krishna, or Krishna's advice, and they remain puffed up. I am engaged in this activity, that activity, this activity. Thousands of millions of such activities may be very good in the estimations of the fools and rascals, but it may not be accepted by Krishna. That is the crucial point. Our point is that unless accepted by Krishna, it is simply shramayevihi kevalam, simply waste of time. Our philosophy says we have to satisfy Krishna. We haven't got to satisfy ourselves. I am doing very nice work in this way. So all these people, they're manufacturing concocted ideas. Mano retain asato tabato bihi. Elsewhere, in teachings of Lord Kapildev, Srila Prabhupada indicates that social welfare activities are very good for those who have no higher engagement. Unless one has good engagements in spiritual service, it is not possible to become detached from material service. Those who are not devotees, therefore, are interested in so-called humanitarian or philanthropic work, such as opening hospitals or charitable institutions. These are undoubtedly good works in the sense that they are pious activities, and the performer may get some opportunities for sense gratification, either in this life or in the next. Devotional service, however, is beyond the boundary of sense gratification. It is a completely spiritual activity. When one engages in the spiritual activities of devotional service, he does not engage in sense gratificatory activities. This moves into a theme which Srila Prabhupada often repeats. Just let me make an adjustment here on my own display. Yeah. A theme that Srila Prabhupada often repeats, that the Mayavadis are the ones who fall down from spiritual platform and then engage in mundane philanthropic activities. Or that those who just don't know what higher activities are engage in such things. It is not uncommon, Rajavidya, not uncommon in India for a man to give up all material engagements, leave his home and family, and take the renounced order, sannyas, and after meditating for some time, begin doing philanthropic work by opening some hospitals or engaging in politics. Elsewhere, Nectar of Devotion, it has been seen that great Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis, very highly educated and almost self-realized souls, may sometimes take to political activities or social welfare activities. The reason is that they actually do not derive any ultimate transcendental happiness in the impersonal understanding, and therefore must come down to the material platform and take to such mundane affairs. There are many instances, especially in India, where these Mayavadi sannyasis descend to the material platform again. So Srila Prabhupada speaks about this many times. That the Mayavadis... Oh, we could say, let's see. Oh, here's the next one. I'll just summarize it. Srila Prabhupada had the opportunity to speak with one. No, that's a different quote. Yeah, no, it's here. Let's see. Let me see. No, it's in a different place. In this place, which was in 1972, Srila Prabhupada's quoting Gatasuna Gatasums Cha Nanusho Chanti Pandita. In the original edition of Bhagavad Gita, there's that very interesting painting where different people are suffering and the sannyasi is just walking past them. Gatasuna Gatasums Cha Nanusho Chanti. Nanusho Chanti means he doesn't lament for the living or for the dead. In that sense, callous. He's callous. Krishna consciousness means, in one sense, to be very soft-hearted, to be very sympathetic, to feel for the sufferings of others. And in another sense, it means to be callous. Callous to the material situation, which cannot be changed. Which cannot be changed. Looking at my time... I have lots more here. I'm just going to summarize the points of some of these because I've got about 12 more just under this topic and I don't want to become just a reader. You'll get bored. I was criticized last year. I read too much. In the next quotation I have, Prabhupada criticizes people who are feeding the poor as if they were God. As if they were God. It's God's work, seeing to that all the living entities are fed. And someone is taking up feeding people, and he's thinking, yes, I'm feeding people. Eko bohunam yo vidatati kama. I'm taking care of people. So this is not our business to see. Our own business is how to revive our original consciousness. That is our only business. Then the next place, a Brahmin is allowed to take charities from others. A sannyasi and a Brahmin. No other is allowed. Nowadays it has come Daridra Narayan. The poor man becomes Narayan, therefore he should be served. This nonsensical theory has come up by some nonsense, but actually a qualified Brahmin should be given charity. Qualified Brahmin should be given charity. A sannyasi, Vaishnav, should be given charity. That is sattvic charity. Rajasic charity means to open hospitals, schools, and tamasic charity means without any discrimination. A Bowery man given 1 rupee and immediately purchase a bottle of wine. By tamasic charity, one is degraded. Now, this theme also comes up many times in the books. The charity is yajna dana tapas charita pavanani manishina. Krishna says that yajna and charity and austerity should never be given up. They're purifying for everyone. But then what kind of charity? Again and again, charity is actually meant to be given to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. Sometimes we hear about programs to wipe out world hunger. I know in America, was it during Kennedy's time that we had the war on poverty? Any Americans here who might remember? You're here. Was it Kennedy who had the war on poverty? It was Kennedy. So they had a war on poverty, but poverty won. The biggest, most wealthy nation in the world, most powerful, was unable to wipe out poverty. Poverty is still there. But Srila Prabhupada said, such charity has no spiritual value. The tendency of modern civilization is to give money and charity to the poor. Such charity has no spiritual value because we actually see that although there are so many hospitals and other foundations and institutions for the poor, according to the three modes of material nature, a class of poor men is always destined to continue. Even though there are so many charitable institutions, poverty has not been driven from human society. The best solution is that of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is always very kind to the poor, not only because it feeds them, but also because it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. We are therefore opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character. If one has money, it should not be squandered away on nothing. It should be used to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement. There's a similar point in the Bible. There's an incident which is mentioned twice. Once in Matthew and once in John. Which one will I read? I'll read Matthew. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, as he sat at meat, which meant food, by the way. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. And the same thing is in John, slightly told in a slightly different way, where it comes out that the critic, or chief critic in the matter, was Judas Iscariot, who's not highly regarded. There's a conversation in 1974 between Srila Prabhupada. Oh, it's one of the famous Bombay walks with Dr. Patel and company, where Srila Prabhupada's talking about welfare work. You are doing some work. For whom you are doing? Guest says, for my own benefit. Prabhupada, that's all. So that is karma. But when you do the same thing for Krishna, that is karma yoga. And the guest says something in Hindi, if you do it for others, for Krishna's, Prabhupada says, others means That is also a humbug. You cannot do anything for others. You do everything for yourself. That is a false propaganda. You see? That is humbugism. So either you can do for yourself or for Krishna. That's all. And then Prabhupada says, after some break, it's become a slogan nowadays. No one does for others. For others. For the poor. These are all humbug. And then Guest says, you think people are doing some hospitals? That is for others? Prabhupada says, yes, that is also punya karma. And then comes to temples. Prabhupada says, temple construction is different from hospital. That is for hospital construction. That is for Krishna. And Guest says, but suppose somebody's doing hospitals. Is it not for others? Prabhupada, yes. But how many you can give shelter? A few. There are so many suffering people. You cannot provide hospitals for all of them. The hospitals are increasing, and the disease also increasing. Guest, no, as you say, that doing for others is humbug. Prabhupada, no, no. Humbug means he cannot do it. Acha. He cannot do it. He can do it to his satisfaction only. That is for his satisfaction. I see. Because by opening hospital, you cannot stop disease. That is not possible. Then what you are doing for the others? That is for your satisfaction. Try to understand. Because you cannot do anything, but still you are wasting your time. That is for your satisfaction. Guest says, naturally for myself. Prabhupada, yes, Hare Krishna. You cannot do anything. Then Prabhupada later says, anything not meant for Krishna, that is for his own satisfaction, just like Arjuna wanted to become nonviolent. No, no, Krishna, I cannot kill my kinsmen. That is a good proposal, but that was his satisfaction. Okay, and there's more, but that gives you the idea. In another quotation, very significant, people are doing this welfare work, but really it's for their own sense gratification. Prabhupada doesn't buy it. Yes, they're very pious men. They're thinking about the welfare of the world. Prabhupada says, humbugism, sense gratification, their own satisfaction, cheating. And they can't even do it. They can't even do it. Wipe out hunger. It's bluffing. In another place, Prabhupada calls it extended selfishness. These welfare activities are extended selfishness. This word we learned from our Guru Maharaj. Extended selfishness. And then he talks about this Daridra Narayan, which is a term invented by some person we won't mention, that the poor man becomes Narayan. That when you're feeding the poor, you're serving Narayan. And Prabhupada, we could do a folio, a little compilation book, Prabhupada on Daridra Narayan. It would probably be a large book. If one is raised to his Krishna consciousness, the whole problems of his life will be solved. That is real welfare activity. Other things you cannot change. If one is destined to suffer by some agency, you cannot stop. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido, nalabhyate yad brahmatam upardyadha. Simply try to awaken your Krishna consciousness, which is impossible in other living beings. In the next quotation, Srila Prabhupada points out essentially that opening hospitals, feeding the poor, and so on are more or less excuses for not serving Krishna. I can say, no, I'm doing. But why should I surrender to Krishna? Krishna says, Sarvadharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Unfortunately, foolish men have misinterpreted this prime teaching and misled the masses of people in diverse ways. People have been urged to open hospitals, but not to educate themselves to enter into the spiritual kingdom by devotional service. They've been taught to take interest only in temporary relief work, which can never bring real happiness to the living entity. No one can be saved. Prabhupada talks about various devastations. Charles says, no one can be saved from these devastations by the opening of hospitals. One can be saved only by complete knowledge of the eternal life of bliss and awareness. We must therefore save ourselves and our fellow man in the right way. A few more I'll skip over. There are many missionaries. They open hospitals or similar philanthropic activities, but we never do that. So many friends advise me to open some hospitals, dispensaries. Oh, I flatly said that we are not interested in the hospitals. There are so many hospitals. So people who are interested in hospitals, they can go there. Here is a spiritual hospital. The disease is the other hospitals. They cannot stop death, but our hospital can stop death. This is our hospital. We are therefore not interested with that kind of hospital. This hospital is treating the materially affected patient to get out of his four kinds of miseries, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dallas, 1975. Prabhupada told the story elsewhere of the boy who had typhoid and was hungry. You know that story? There was a boy who had typhoid, and he was ordered by the physician to fast. And his parents went out someplace. And meanwhile, the boy asked his brother, I'm so hungry, couldn't you just give me a little cake? And so the boy came home. So the boy said, yes, why not? And then the sick boy nearly died, and the parents came home and beat the other boy like anything, because it was misplaced sympathy. He thought, no, I'll do something good. But instead, he was doing harm. And we'll come to this word, I think, tomorrow, harm-giving kindness. Now I have really a lot more. Oh, I have a whole section. What did Srila Prabhupada most often say when he was asked what our movement does for the welfare of human society? This is from Tamal Krishnamurti's diary, entry for April 10th, 1977. The next day, another member of parliament, Sri Ram Jetmalani, came to visit Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada stressed again the importance of Krishna consciousness, and Mr. Jetmalani was favorably impressed. Mr. Jetmalani raised the question of whether there was any social welfare work to be done by Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada told him that such was simply the business of cats and dogs. Our purpose was to end this material life. That was the purpose of human life, not simply barking social welfare and getting nothing done. Mr. Jetmalani, the most eminent lawyer of India, was highly impressed. He promised to give all help for Srila Prabhupada's movement. I have a few more. Let's see. Same points, I'll skip it. There's a famous, really famous talk, interview in New York City with it's really a charming interview because the interviewer in March of 1975 had some idea of how to speak to a saintly person. So he was asking Srila Prabhupada, I think at an airport, I have one other question for you, please. By definition, it seems to me anyway, and I think to other observers, and sympathetic observers at that, that you've asked your spiritual children to leave the outer world in the West and go deep within the heart of ISKCON, within your heart and the heart of the Supreme, to accomplish what you've said is their goal. What about outer service to humanity in this incarnation? Prabhupada says, this is the best humanity's service. They were all fools and rascals, and we educated them for spiritual understanding. If I think I am this body, then I am no better than cat and dog. That is going on. I am American, I am Indian, I am Hindu. But suppose you have come to me, can I ask you whether you are the body or something else? Swamiji, perhaps the deficiency is in my question. Let me rephrase the question, if you'll permit. And I realize there isn't much air to breathe, Hare Krishna, but I will make the question brief. My question has to do with karma yoga in the outer world, for instance, in New York City. From what I understand, your disciples do not pursue the professions. Is that correct? Prabhupada, no, we are also karma yogi. We are also eating. We are also sleeping. I understand that. I'm speaking in terms of outer service to people who are not in your mission. Other than preaching the truth of Krishna, is there any other outer service to humanity? Prabhupada, that will include everything. If we make Krishna consciousness, then he becomes perfectly educated. We do not require to, just like if you pour water on the root of the tree, the water reaches everywhere. And, let's see, I hit the wrong button here. And if you pour water on the leaf, on the twig, on the branch, it does not go anywhere. It is localized. So at the present moment, service is a particular departmental service, not all-including. So to educate people in Krishna consciousness means to educate him all around. I understand, Swamiji. Again, the deficiency is obviously with my question. My question relates to service to the outer world by your disciples. About that I have already explained. Yes, but that if you pour water on the root of the tree, the service reaches everywhere. How is that manifesting? Manifested? That's like if you eat and give the foodstuffs to your stomach, then you realize that you have got energy in every part of your body. Yes, I've understood your words, and I'm grateful for them. But again, the problem obviously is with me and not with you. But the question still remains. What about being of material service? Material service, not just spiritual service. It is material service, as I showed. If you put foodstuff in your stomach, all the parts of your body feel energetic. That is material service. That is not spiritual service. Spiritual service is beyond that. Similarly, the center is God. If you understand God, then you'll understand everything. Understood, Swamiji. But your disciples do not build houses. They don't work in hospitals. They don't perform, as far as I know, and I could just be swimming in ignorance here. As far as I know, they do not perform service to the outer world other than offering free meals at the temple and preaching the word of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada, I quite follow. That is your ignorance. Because you do not know that what is the real service. You do not know. Do you know what is real service? The answer should come from you and not from me. Yes, the real service. Suppose you open hospital. You can cure for the time being some disease, but can you give him any assurance that he will not die? Can you protect him from death? In spite of all your big, big hospitals, can you protect humanity from death, old age, disease? Can you? Physically, of course, not only spiritually. Ah, that we are giving. We are giving you that no more death, no more birth, no more old age, and no more disease. But couldn't your disciples perform all the wonderful things that you have them do, and at the same time provide outer material service? They are doing what they are not doing. They are doing all service. We have got this body. We have to maintain the body. We are doing everything. We are eating. We are sleeping. What is the difference? We are also eating as you are eating. Where is the difference? Reporter, perhaps only in some perceptions? Prabhupada? That's all. Then he says, thank you. And that's the end. So you can see, Prabhupada was presented again and again and again with the opportunities to say, yes, we're also doing a little something, we're also doing our bit to help humanity, we're also, and Prabhupada wouldn't buy it. Prabhupada told him again and again, we're doing the best service, you don't know what service is. And that was Prabhupada's unique way of preaching. And I'll stop here and maybe take some questions if there are, or any comments. Yes. Yeah. They make the money twice. First they sell you the cigarettes, and then they open the hospitals and admit you as a patient and take your money again. Yes. Maji?
Take that a little step further. You see someone like Philip Morris, you know, the producer of most of the cigarettes in the world, and they got a bad reputation in America. They got sued and lost many times for causing cancer. So now they have a multi-million dollar ad campaign because they're feeding people. Yeah. And so they spend $1 million feeding people and $10 million telling people that they're feeding people. themselves all over magazines, newspapers, billboards that, you know, they figured an old lady and she has a hot date or a hot meal tonight, you know, because they're giving out a hot meal, so that they can replenish their image, so that they can keep selling cigarettes.
You bring that topic to attention.
Just present, cheating propensity. Imperfect senses, so on, tendency to be illusion, and cheating propensity.
Just outright cheating. Yes?
Maharaj, is it a fact, or is it like, since you bring the topic to the attention of the devotees in general, are you observing the trend in ISKCON?
I'm not talking about ISKCON today. ISKCON, we're not going to, why talk about ISKCON? We have so many other things to talk about. Today I'm just talking about how Srila Prabhupada preached about mundane welfare activities. Just to reinforce what you said, there was one of the quotations I didn't cite. Prabhupada had spoken to the American head of a famous Indian mission, and the man had admitted that we raise so much money for our charitable activities, and then we spend in different ways. And Prabhupada is simply cheating.
Well, can we conclude that, like, material welfare actually is a way of cheating and deviates the soul from the real soul?
Absolutely. Material welfare activities means cheating. Your spirit soul, you've rebelled against Krishna, and now you've become a philanthropist. I'm not a thief, I'm a philanthropist. You've stolen everything from Krishna, but because you gave something to the poor, you say, no, I'm not a thief, I'm a philanthropist. And Krishna says, surrender to me. You say, I'm doing that, I'm serving the poor. Cheating others and cheating yourself. Krishna says, sarvatarman prachyaju, give up all your karmakanda, give up all your gyanakanda, give up all your nonsense and surrender to me. And you say, no, I'm going to serve the poor. That's serving you. And Krishna's standing there saying, don't do that, give that up, serve me. And you say, but I'm serving the poor. And the poor man is Narayan. Or God is present in the heart of the poor man, so I'm serving God by serving the poor. And Krishna says, you're nonsense. That was Prabhupada's angle of vision. Not that, oh, it's very good activity. No. It's your excuse for not surrendering to Krishna. No, I'm opening a hospital, I'm serving the poor. Yes, Nick.
In the 11th canto, Krishna explains about different things, auspicious and inauspicious activities for humanity. First of all, he establishes the fact that Krishna consciousness is all auspicious, but then he goes on to explain that for a certain person at a certain level of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, there are activities auspicious and certain activities inauspicious. And Prabhupada in the purport, he explains...
No, wait a second. Prabhupada didn't write any purports to 11th canto.
He writes in those purports that certain activities are auspicious for someone's advancement in spiritual life. Can you explain about those?
For their advancement in spiritual life. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do that. If you can't spontaneously love... Follow the regulative principles, work for me. You can't work for me, well, give charity. Just be detached from the results of your work. But Bhagavad Gita is not spoken to get people just to give up their attachments and give to others. That's not ultimately what Krishna's point is. His point is surrender. So everything's there, just like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita what is charity in the three modes, but it's not because he wants to promote charity in any of those three modes. His purpose is sarvatarman pratyajam mamekam sharanam. Yes?
It seems that historically in the past in the West and India, very rich people would give to church, the priests, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, and through time,
generally what happens is people still have some impulse to give to the church because they think that the church is a good conduit for giving to the poor. And the church presents itself that way. The church or the temple or the religious institution give to us because we're helping the poor. Yes.
People, especially in India, give to the temple, and in the Christian tradition, there's that concept that somehow it benefits you. That, you know, you have all the time, Indian people will put a few dollars in a child's hand and ask them to go up and put it in the the box, because if you give one, you get 10. So
right.
Give him 100, he'll put it in, he'll get 10,000, then he'll take care of us. So there is this idea that if I give to a spiritual organization of some kind, especially in India, I give to the temple, then I get it comes back on me. Even if the Christians, during Christmas time of year, if you do good to others, it comes back on you.
Yeah, well, right. This is really a universal universal phenomenon, that people, if they have some religious impulse, it goes to that point, that really to be religious means to do for others, to give something to others. It's in one sense a good thing. You have a somewhat selfless impulse. You want to do something, and then as far as you can understand, doing something good means giving to the poor, opening hospitals, nursing homes, some sort of charitable institution. And various religious institutions either understand that this is what people will give for, and so that's what they collect for, or they genuinely believe also, the spiritual leaders themselves are of the opinion that this is really God's work, to feed the poor, to uplift the downtrodden, to provide homes for the homeless. This is God's work. And that's as far as the spiritual leaders go. And in all sincerity. So that's a distinction between those spiritual leaders and our spiritual leader. Our spiritual leader says, forget it. So many times they asked me, open hospitals, and I said, no, we're not interested in hospitals. Why? We're opening hospitals to save you from birth and death. Higher priority. We have a couple minutes left. Yes, Mataji?
What
about using those activities to preach to people? I'm going to talk about that in coming days. That's a natural question and a good question, but I'll save it for another occasion. Yes?
Because you mentioned about that in one sense that the devotee is callous to the suffering of people, in other sense it's very paradoxical, compassion. Can you elaborate?
Yes. The devotee sees that these great sufferings of humanity are superficial. There was a very nice article written by Gaur Das back in the late 60s or early 70s. It was published in Back to Godhead, and Prabhupada liked it very much. It began with describing how some woman's son is run over by a tank and she can't be consoled, and you know all these horrible things that happen. And he explains that a Krishna-conscious person doesn't understand that these things happen by the laws of nature, and what can we do about them? He doesn't try to rearrange material nature so that these things don't happen, because they must happen. They must happen. So there's a diagnosis or a prescription in medicine. Treatment is superficial. When you can't really solve the person's problem, then you have to give superficial treatment, palliative care or whatever it is. So that's the kind of compassion that most people have. They try to give palliative care. They try to sympathize, or sometimes Prabhupada called it blowing on a boil to make it feel better. That's as far as they go. But a Krishna-conscious person doesn't, all right, he understands that, but that's not his business. In one sense, he's callous, because he sees, what is it going to do? The guy has a broken arm, I fix his arm. Then he gets diphtheria, and I cure him from diphtheria. Then he breaks his leg, and I fix his leg, and then he gets run over by a truck. No, he sees that the real thing is to get to the root of the disease and save him from birth and death. Otherwise, Prabhupada gave the example many times of saving the coat of the drowning man, a great hero who jumps into the water to save the man who's drowning and comes back to shore with his coat. So that's Prabhupada's example of what this attention to the body is, that we'll do something for the body, but that's not the person. So in that sense, he's callous. He doesn't appreciate, oh, such wonderful work. You fool, you just brought back the code. Another question? Last question, because we're out of time, really. Yes?
Some people want to do some good things, but they're not on the level of understanding Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we have, like, Fit for Life, and then people, they come and want to help because of animals, and we have to...
Well, again, I'm not going to talk about ISKCON programs, but in another quotation I have, Srila Prabhupada says that if people want to give for some charitable purpose, there's so many charitable institutions.
So we should look at this people who are not understanding the highest level.
I'm not talking about that right now. That comes tomorrow or the next day. It's another version of Ms. Mataji's question or a related question.
Also in general, not only in ISKCON, but also in general.
Yeah, but it's going to come to ISKCON, so I'm going to dodge the question. For today, we'll come to it. My point today is that we should understand the thrust of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. If you look through all the Vedic literature and all of Prabhupada's books, you can find ways to, you know, you can pick out something here and pick out something here, and you can say, oh, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. But if you look at the preponderance of the evidence, if you look at what Prabhupada consistently said, if you look at how he presented our philosophy again and again, this is, I submit, Prabhupada's position on the matter. This is what he said again and again. They're fools. They're wasting their time. They're doing it for their own satisfaction. They're puffed up. They're deviating people. They're cheating. They're avoiding Krishna's order to surrender. And we're doing the real welfare work by saving people from birth and death. They're not doing anything. That's Prabhupada's headlines on the subject. And that's what I wanted to accomplish for today, is to highlight that. And Sanak Rishi is here, which means that hand goes down. And we all get ready for our next program. I do have handouts. I'm not against handouts, you see. We have handouts. These are two articles published in Back to Godhead. We're going to talk about them tomorrow. If you get a chance, you can look through them. If you don't get a chance, Hare Krishna, they're for you to take with you in any case. Please take a copy of both. Or do you want to make an arrangement for distributing them? Why don't we do that so everybody can cut out? Just take some and take some. Here's some more of that second article. Here's all the rest of the second. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.